Blog Talk Radio.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
Is your relationship based on true emotions, genuine feelings, and real love? Or have you spent the last few months and or years of your relationship with your partner faking the funk? Many men and women simply enter into a relationship of convenience because they are bored or lonely. Even many married couples wake up in the morning and say, "How did I end up with this person in my bed every night?" Are you at a point where you just need some good, solid advice on how to overcome some of your relationship blues? My guest for the evening believes that preparing yourself is the best way to prevent repairing yourself. He is a certified relationship coach with over 15 years of experience helping married couples, engaged couples, and even single men and women seeking a partner and a better love life. Who is this man who has helped hundreds, if not thousands, of men and women in Southern California find solutions to all of their dating and relationship problems and frustrations? His name is Ryel Sims, and tonight, pull out your pens and notepads because this highly seasoned and extremely knowledgeable relationship coach and marriage educator is about to get upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this Alan Roger Curry of Mode 1 fame? Oh my God,
you're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman. But the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo, mode one. This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode one, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Like the birds need to sing, I want you always. Oh, I cherish everything you do for me. Baby, you set me free. It's you and me for eternity. Yeah. Dear love, where do you come from?
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, April 9th, and tonight's show features a very popular relationship coach and marriage educator from the Los Angeles area who has given a number of men and women good, solid advice that has helped them improve their marriage, their non-marital committed relationships, or simply help singles find that special someone. I'll talk more about my guest for the evening in a few moments, but first let me tell you who is coming up on the show in the next couple of weeks. Next week, I will have a good friend and fraternity brother of mine who used to be a running back in the National Football League with both the Raiders and the Minnesota Vikings, and he is now a motivational speaker and book author. His book is entitled No More Excuses, Black Men Stand Up. His name is Robert Jackson, and Mr. Jackson will join me next week to discuss how to maintain the proper balance between your career, your hobbies and personal interests, your spouse, significant other, your children, and of course, maintaining those sparks in your love life and sex life with your special someone. Please join me for that discussion. I'm sure that's going to be a great interview. Then the following week, I will be interviewing a young lady who originally grew up in Paris, France, and now she makes her home in New York City, Manhattan, and she's a highly sought-after feng shui. Does everybody know what feng shui is? That's when you, the art of arranging your furniture and items in your home or office in such a way that it brings harmony to you and enhances your spirit and your attitude. She is a feng shui expert, and she will be on my show in a couple weeks to discuss the relationship between harmony in your residence and your ability to attract a romantic partner in your life. So that should be an interesting discussion. Again, her name is Marie Burgos, and I'm looking very much forward to that interview. In my chat room, I got my good friend, Adrian, alias Diva, 36262636. Wait a minute. Adrian says that I'm having some sound problems. If all the people in my chat room, write me a note if you're having sound problems. Let me know if by some chance you're having sound problems, and hopefully we can rectify that. For those who can't hear, also got Hypert in the chat room,
got a couple of guests, and of course my guest for the evening, he's chilling in the chat room. A few other shout outs will be my brother and ace confidant Stephen Curry, my cousin JP Jones, Allison Mays, Arnold Reed, Kimberly Jones Snipe, and Sheldon Snipe, cousin Ethel Ball, Kathy Holloway Hill, Will Wavy, Steve the Dean Williams, all my fellow Blog Talk Radio colleagues, as well as my Facebook buddies, Facebook friends. Let's keep growing and growing and growing. Facebook's something else, ain't it? It's almost time for the NBA playoffs. I don't know how many NBA fans we got out there, but now that the college basketball season is over, yeah, North Carolina won, and I wasn't too excited about that. Now they done won 5 national championships. They done tied with my boys, IU. That's my alma mater, Indiana University, because we have 5 NCAA championships. Now North Carolina got 5, and I'm not happy about that because I don't I'm sorry. No disrespect to my fans from North Carolina, my friends and supporters from North Carolina, but I do not like Duke. I don't like UNC. Just strictly sports. Academics, great schools. Great schools. Let me make that clear. Great schools, but I don't like y'all in college basketball. I'm just letting me know. And Diva in the chat room, quit talking smack. IU is going to win more NCAA championships. It just won't be in the next, 3 to 5 years. It's going to be probably, 15 years from now. But they're going to win another NCAA. See, my friend Adrian in the chat room, she went to Ohio State, and, we got a rivalry with them. But anyway, I was talking about NBA. NBA is coming up. I think that the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to defeat Boston Celtics, assuming they get matched up against each other. The team to watch out in the East is Orlando Magic. I think the Orlando Magic is going to cause some teams some problems. In the West, the favorite, of course, is the Lakers, but I think the Denver Nuggets might cause some problems. I think the New Orleans Hornets might cause some problems. So I'm looking forward to the NBA playoffs. I love the NBA playoffs. Blagojevic! I just felt like saying that. I really don't have nothing to say about Blagojevic. I just love saying his name, the former governor of Illinois, Rod Blagojevic. I don't have anything to report on him. Fast and Furious, would you have predicted that the Fast and Furious would have collected $72 million? That amazed me. I don't know about you, but I just didn't think that movie was going to do that well. But Vin Diesel must know what he's talking about, must know what he's doing, because that movie has $72 million in its first weekend. So, hey, much props to Vin Diesel and Paul Walker and whoever else was in that movie. I'm just not really into movies about racing cars and stuff, but obviously a lot of people are. So, hey, more power to them. It's reported that the surgeon that worked on Kanye West's mom, I don't know if you remember, that was a big controversy. Kanye West's mom passed away. I can't remember how long ago that was. Was that a year ago or so? His mom passed away, and it was found that it was because of a botched surgery, plastic surgery. And the plastic surgeon who worked on Kanye West's mom, he has surrendered his license. He has surrendered his license. So he is now not a working plastic surgeon. And, good riddance to the brother, because I heard, that he had a number of botched surgeries that caused people complications. And, if Kanye West's mom indeed died because of his incompetence, then, I'm sure karma will come back on him in a big way. A study came out that said women who suffer from poor self-image are more likely to be headed towards divorce. Women who suffer from poor self-image are more likely to experience divorce if they're married. I'm sure my guest for the evening will have plenty to say about that. And speaking of my guest for the evening, He is a relationship coach and marriage educator, as I mentioned early on, and he has been one for over 15 years. He is the president and CEO of RS Communications. He has been employed as relationship advisor on a number of popular radio shows in the general Los Angeles area. He has served on a number of dating and relationship panels all over the country. And he, you know, he's been interviewed in a number of newspapers, magazines. He's about to come out with a book entitled How My Wife Chose Her Husband. How My Wife Chose Her Husband. On behalf of Upfront and Straightforward and Blog Talk Radio, listeners, give it up for Mr. Rael Sims. What is up, Rael?
Hey, man, what's up? What's going on? I love your show, man. You are really good, man.
Thank you, bro. Thank you, bro. Listen, did you see how he got that smooth voice? Man, he just starts off like, yeah, it's all cool. It's all great.
Hey, I'm from Chicago, man, you know.
Much love to you for that.
Same voice. You got the same voice, you know.
Yeah, we got some similar pictures on Facebook.
Oh, man. I know. People saw the picture and they was like, wait a minute, is that your brother? I was like, hey, I'm not you or myself. Let me get on the phone and call. Hey, look, Daddy, tell me the truth. Talk to me. This picture looks like my picture, you know.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Same nose, everything, man.
Now, you know, I got to ask you, this is going to be kind of an awkward question, man, but
yeah,
I know you're married. And you, matter of fact, your wife's your business partner. But
right,
speaking
right,
of Facebook,
right.
Man, does she ever just get irritated? Because, you got some of the most beautiful, sexy women as your Facebook friends. Lord, have mercy.
Well, my wife, she's part of my marketing, you know, so she knows. She's like, hey, we got to make this happen. We gotta help everybody. So she's part
that.
Of my marketing.
Well, evidently, man, you are helping a lot of men and women who come in contact with you, because I hear nothing but good things about you, and I'm going to get into some questions about some of that knowledge and wisdom.
Yes.
Well, first I want to ask you, I first made your acquaintance on my show.
Yes.
Because you were in a chat room when I was interviewing Kimberly Brown. Now, how did you two
yes.
meet?
Yes. Hey, Facebook, just like you said.
Oh, okay, Facebook, okay.
Yeah, we're doing something, and I saw one of the events that she was doing, and we connected like that and just, you know, said, hey, what can we do to help each other? So we're going to be doing some things together, too.
Oh, that's real cool.
Actually, I'm going to be coming out to Chicago. Do some things, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, dude, I'm
yeah, we're going to have a keynote performance out there. It's called Keynote Performance.
Keynote? Now, enlighten my audience what that is.
Well, you know, I'm a motivational speaker, too, as well. And it just has to change up in the speaking world. You know, we have people up just speaking, it's just a speaking head for 45 minutes or an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. So we came up with a new idea where it's just not me speaking, but we actually have, we're going to have the top DJ of that city, whichever city we go in the tour. And what we do is we act like that I'm actually on the radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And the DJ and I were conversating about a relationship tip, and they mentioned someone that's on the radio that's asking for some advice, and we actually have a singer that will actually come up and sing a song about that relationship thing before I actually come up and start talking about it. Now, the reason why we came up with this is that we were talking about old school music that had meaning in the songs about relationships. Now, one thing about back in the day, especially with African Americans, well, mainly African Americans, well, I won't say that today, but back then, we really didn't go to therapy. We didn't get counseling. You know, we didn't get relationship advice from relationship coaches or anything like that. We basically, our therapy was our songs in the old school days. Mm-hmm. And so what we decided to do was to bring those songs back and to let everybody know and to hear the meanings that's in those songs and just share them like that. We're going to use new songs too as well. But we're just going back and pulling out the old school songs that had meanings to relationships.
Well, that's interesting. Now, well, I definitely agree with that. I'm a big fan of old school music, and I think the lyrics were in many ways more profound than a lot of today's lyrics.
I got to correct myself, but I forgot the name because, you know, people, Bryson said, you know, he said, no, call it old school, but I forgot what he said. It was another term, and it was basically just giving more respect than just saying old school, where one wouldn't want to listen to it because it's old school, right?
Mm-hmm. Peebo Bryson, see, that's a classic crooner right there. That's a, mm-hmm. But, you know, you touched on something. I want to ask you this, actually. In your experience and observation, why do you think that, because I would say, just based on my own observation, that I'm sure there's relationship problems to one degree or another that have been experienced throughout the generation, so I'm not going to be naive in that regard, but it seems like you have more people over the last, say, 5, 10, maybe 15 years that have been seeking out the advice of dating coaches and relationship advisors. Why do you think so many men and women in contemporary society feel like the dating scene is so complicated and frustrating compared to, you know, maybe 2 or 3 decades ago?
Well, there's so many. There's the great opportunity for people out here to date. You know, I had this conversation with someone, and we were talking about, there's just so many venues right now for people to search for relationships, mm-hmm. and people aren't really as satisfied as we were back then because there's so many choices out there. I mean, you know, we have the internet, we have these dating organizations and everything, and people are just having fun. People are actually enjoying themselves. And to Because of this change, we have a major, major paradigm shift. And, you know, women aren't just relying on men anymore. So they're concentrating, too, on getting their education, getting the things that they need without basically waiting for a man to give them those things. So we're also waiting to date later, or actually we're waiting to be committed later. Now, you know, we're out dating. But when we're talking about a commitment and to actually get married, that's actually what we're really seeing that's not happening as often, you know.
Okay. Now, you out there in L.A. I used to live in L.A. actually for 6.5 years.
Okay.
And I don't want to generalize per se or stereotype per se, but you kind of have a lot of, what I want to say, like self-absorbed types. Do they present their own set when they come to you, say, for coaching, than, say, some men and women from Atlanta or Chicago or Miami or another city?
I didn't understand.
It seemed like a lot of people tend to perceive L.A. people as being just all about themselves, like they wouldn't even have the same willingness to open up in a relationship to even have a successful relationship.
Oh, right. Good point.
Like,
you know,
it's kind of all about them in their world.
Well,
and
I mean,
that's to a certain extent a stereotype, but I'm saying if in the cases where that stereotype is valid, with maybe some people came to you, how do you assess that?
Yeah, I mean, it is L.A. And yes, L.A., they have this, it's actually not the people who were born here. It's actually people that's from someplace else. And because this is Hollywood and the majority of the people are either, I call it the campus, and the majority of the people are, you know, I'm also from the film industry too. So the majority of people are either from, you know, the film industry, the music industry, dance, you know, everything. So the minute they step foot in L.A., they become, hey, I'm in the industry and I'm famous and I know it all. And when it becomes, when it comes to relationships, I mean, there's a lot of people here that are very arrogant, and they take it as, hey, I know what I'm doing and I know my stuff and I'm this and that. But you could realize that it's a lot of people in Hollywood that's getting divorces here, you know. And I really admire when somebody could really step up and say, I need help. And not just anyone, but men. When I find a man that's actually saying, hey, I need help, can you come and talk to me and my wife or me and my girlfriend or me and my fiance, I really honor that so much, especially because it is here in L.A.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm feeling you on that because, again, I'm very generalized stereotype, but, you know, men have so much, many of us anyway, have so much egotistical pride.
Exactly, and, egotistic, machoistic.
Yeah, and we don't want to actually, you know, the old adage women tease us about, like, we don't even want to ask for directions because we think we know everything. Mm-hmm. So if a man don't want to ask for directions, God forbid he wants to ask for relationship advice. But you're saying that a good number of, you know, guys do go ahead and make that jump and come to you for advice, huh?
Yeah, I'm starting to see that, and it's amazing me. I mean, I'm really, really shocked. It's starting to really happen, and I'm just amazed, and I'm honored that they're actually coming to me. But a while ago, you just wouldn't see that happen, not at all. And just like you said, if we wouldn't even ask for driving directions, we're definitely not going to ask for relationship advice, because the majority of couples that actually go into counseling, it's because of the woman. And it's to the point where she's like, well, you know what, it's either going to be that or I'm out. And then the guy will go. But now I'm finding guys saying, well, hey, you know, my wife and I was just looking for some counseling. And, you know, are you open for, you know, to counsel us? And I'm like, yeah, it's cool.
Interesting.
So it's very rewarding. It's very rewarding when you're there and you're talking to the guy because, one, when we mentioned the machoistic, egotistic thing, one, when he's there, I can even see him open up and allow himself to mature while, you know, while talking, and it's very rewarding. You know, so I'm glad to see that, at least that's starting to happen.
Yeah, I bet that is rewarding.
Yeah.
Well, first I want to kind of rewind and ask you, what first made you developed this interest and passion for wanting to offer your knowledge and wisdom to men? When did you first say to yourself, you know, what event or set of circumstances or, you know, experiences made you say, I want to become a relationship coach?
Good question. Something actually happened to me that reminded me of women. I actually felt like the woman. You know when you hear the girls get together, girl, if I was you, I'd leave him,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was actually in a relationship that I couldn't leave. And I actually understood what it felt like to be a victim in a relationship. So I was actually in love.
Now, wait a minute, you know I got to ask you before you go on right
Yes.
When you say victim, now you're not telling me a woman was doing a Chris Brown on you or something, was she?
Oh, well, no, I wasn't getting beat up. No, I wasn't getting beat up. I just, hey, man, I was in an abusive relationship. I mean, not abusive in that way, but, you know, just the way she talked to me, the way she treated me. It just wasn't a good relationship, but I couldn't get out of it. I couldn't break it loose.
Mm.
I was totally hooked, and I fell in love with that. And it, not only being in love with her, I fell in love with that. Of just that was my comfort zone. And all I can hear was girls who talk to other girls, if I was you, I would just leave. And it wasn't that easy for me to just up and leave. I mean, it took me praying and listening to Tony Braxton's song, Let It Go, Let It Go, Let It Flow.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I would listen to that song every day and pray to get the strength to just leave, you know. And when I realized that, I was like, wow, now I understand woman. And it isn't just that easy to just up and leave when you are just deep into a relationship. You know?
Wow, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point to make to men and women, and definitely men.
Yeah.
Now,
in love with misery is what I was in. I fell in love with misery.
You fell in love with misery.
Right. I fell in love with misery. See, and the reason why I stayed, what I discovered is the reason why I stayed is because of that was my comfort zone. The misery was my comfort zone. How I was being treated is what I fell in love with. And what I realized is that's what I had to break apart. And that's what happens. That's what's going on probably every day with people, that they're actually in love with misery. And they made that their comfort zone, and realizing that that's something that they're going to have to break away from in order to get out of that relationship.
Now, define the difference for my listeners, Rael, between being in love and
true
experiencing
love.
True love.
Yeah. In love takes no effort. In love is simple. In love is easy to do. We all fall in love. That takes no discipline, because it's going to happen. It's just by the laws of nature. We fall in love. Now we also, once we fall in love, we have a choice to be in true love. True love is the point where when things are starting to happen in the relationship, you have to work at it. And most people aren't willing to work at the relationship. So they feel like, well, now we're having problems. This means we must break up. But it actually means that now it's time to put effort in the relationship and start working at that relationship. But the in love, it really shouldn't even be called in love. It really should have a different name to it. Or we should give true love the in love. But that first stage, that infatuation that gives you an altered state of consciousness, a euphoria, you know, is just a high. And that's what it gives us. It gives us that high. And, oh, my God, don't end up having sex with someone that actually, especially a brother that has it going on, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And what happens is, especially for a woman, I don't know if you've heard the medical term, oxytocin.
You know, it's so funny you mentioned that. I got to tell this quick story is that I was doing a book signing about almost 3 years ago in California, matter of fact, a few months after my book first came out, Mode One. And we were on the subject. You familiar with a woman named Pearl Jr.?
Yes, I do. Yes, I know Pearl.
Yeah, she's an activist out there in L.A. But she was the co-author. It was me and her. We were both doing kind of a co-book signing. And we were talking about different issues, and we talked about casual sex. And my argument was that casual sex is fine for a man and woman to engage in as long as the man is upfront and straightforward about the fact that that's what he's looking for,
casual sex.
And the vast majority of women there agree with that, and all the men agree with that. And Pearl, you know, I think you know her personality. She's almost like anti-casual sex, period. She made the argument that, Alan, even if you're straightforward about the fact that all you want is casual sex, you're still kind of misleading, because women many women are going to catch feelings. And so I was arguing against that. I was like, no. And then this woman said, no, actually, Pearl's kind of right, because women have this chemical that if they have sex with a guy multiple times, let's say 3-4 more times, something in their system is released called oxytocin. And I was like, really? And at that time, I had never heard of that.
Yes, and it doesn't even have to be more than once. Yeah, it doesn't even have to be more than once. It could just be that one time. And once again, like I said, if that brother has it going on, knows exactly what to do and how to do it. What I usually say in my speeches is he will tap that oxytocin. And when the disadvantage of it is that a woman thinks she's in love. But what it really is that when the oxytocin is tapped, what happens is, of course, it gives us other drugs. And those drugs, you know, which triggers the dopamine, you know, and raises our serotonin levels. So here we are now. You want to see him because you think you are in love with him. You really ask, you know, well, why do you feel like this about him? And you can't really say anything else but that he's good and bad. Mm-hmm. And what it is that you become addicted to it, you know, and it's a drug. And that's why it really is. And now let me explain to you what oxytocin is designed for and why it's in woman. It's for her to bond with her child, and it's also to bond with her, you know, husband. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, when a woman has a child, the first thing she wants to do is to, you know, give me my baby, you know. Yeah. And that's that bond, because it's that drug that's actually coming out now. And that's why after sex too, a woman wants to cuddle, or times where she just wants to cuddle. But being aware of that and thinking sometimes, too, that you are in love where there's no effort whatsoever, there's nothing that has to change, there's nothing that has to make your relationship any better, because that's what you start thinking about, and you think, hey, you know, this is it, versus true love. And I don't know if you've heard, you remember there was a term called 7-year itch?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that 7-year itch is down to actually 4, and some studies have actually said it's down to 2. What does that mean? When you get to that point when it's time to work at that relationship, most of the time what they're saying is that now couples are breaking up in 2 years.
Wow.
Because once it hits that second year, start having those problems, realize too that the drugs is wearing off from the oxytocin, that you never loved this person anyway, you know, and now you don't want to work at it because it was never nothing there. That's why it is dangerous sometimes, that you just have to be careful with that. And yes, maybe there's times that it could take 2 or 3 days, but there's times that it can just take one day, one time, and that's it, you know.
Wow.
And they are doing studies right now to see if men also have it as well.
Interesting. Now, I would be very interested to find out if I have some kind of I think, you know what I think gives me oxytocin is when I eat chicken wings, man, because I develop a bond with chicken. Well, I love me some chicken wings. Well, I'll fight you if you try to mess with my chicken wings.
Yeah, that's probably it, man. I'm gonna get a part of that research at UCLA, and I'm gonna say, well, you know what? A real good friend of mine, you know, I think it might be chicken too.
Boy, anybody who knows me know I love some chicken wings. But I'm great. Audience, stay put. I'm gonna come back with Rael, but first I'm gonna take an intermission break, and I see a couple people in the phone queue. Let's see if they're just listening or if they have a question when I get back. But don't go anywhere. I'll be right back in about 2 or 3 minutes.
Do you want to let loose?
Yep.
Do you want to vent on the issues?
All the time.
Do you want to express your views?
Yes, sir.
Then sound off. This is your host, Harold L.,
okay,
inviting you to join me on Blog Talk Radio with the Sound Off Now show.
That's what's up.
Real life, real issues, real talk,
okay,
uncensored. Join me on the SON Networks Monday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern for some of the most controversial issues and forums as we simply sound off.
I'm there.
Come join us on Sound Off Now, where nothing is off limits.
That's what's up.
www.blogtalkradio.com/sound-off-now.
Just so listeners know, there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, he said, and you know what? I found my swagger. Now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that. Yeah.
Oh, man, you got to love it.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Turn to my interview with relationship coach and marriage educator Ryle Sims on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, just joining us on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, my guest for the evening is a very popular, highly sought-after relationship coach and marriage educator by the name of Ryle Sims, and he's with me tonight to talk about a lot of the knowledge and wisdom that he shares with his male and female clients. But real quick, man, I'm going to check on a couple of people in the phone queue, see if they're just listening to the show or if they have a question. Okay, interesting area code 111, which means you're using some kind of internet voice. 111, you there? You listening or I got a question? Going once, going twice. Okay, not there. Now I'm going to go to area code 571. 571, are you just listening or you have a question or comment?
That's you.
I heard somebody say, that's you.
Okay.
571.
Yes, sir. What's going on?
You got a question coming, or you just listening?
Nah, I just figured I'd go ahead and beep in just to let you know that you do got some people listening. I was just sitting here with my lady, and I was like, you know, we ought to ask some question that maybe some kind of relationship question that we debate about often.
Yeah, well, ask Ryle a question about some of the things you debate about.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I'd love to. It's funny because.
Hello.
Uh-oh. Looked like she hung up the phone.
Hold on. We was having some technical difficulties.
Oh, okay.
No, it seems that the both of us can't think of one thing that we debate about often. Oh, you know what? Here we go. I've got a question. Ready?
Okay.
In a relationship, one thing that me and my lovely woman here debate about is that there are roles. That is, a man has certain obligations as a man, whether that is being the provider or opening all the bottles in the house. And a woman has certain obligations as a woman. I've heard the term like helper and supporter, and I don't know if that means cook the meals and things like that. Now, I don't want to give too much information to let you know where the bias stands, but what do you think about that?
Well, first of all, mm-hmm. I don't know if I mentioned it earlier that this is a whole new millennium.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
And it depends on what traditions you are living by. Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And today people are coming up with their own traditions,
mm-hmm,
and their own roles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because sometimes we can get caught into the old traditions in a new millennium.
Tell it.
And that can get us in trouble. And that's why it's so important to communicate what roles and not assume that the old roles still apply today,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm. Right, I feel
And I think it should be something that is articulated amongst the two of you, and to understand, but not just jump out there and say, well, because I'm the man or because you're the woman. I mean, you know, yes, in the olden days we got married and we expect the woman to know how to cook.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as you know now, there's a lot of men that can cook.
Mm-hmm.
And in this world, when it takes two people to go and work 8 hours a day, whoever gets home first,
mm-hmm,
should cook,
mm-hmm,
right?
Oh,
unless,
no, I feel you.
Unless you've created your own traditions,
mm-hmm,
and you've chose to stick with the old, right?
Right, right.
You know, but also you have to be careful and just realize that one has to look out for each other. You know,
mm-hmm,
if one, you know, if you choose to stick to the old rules, but yet still your wife is working just like you for 8 hours, and you have kids,
right,
and then she comes home and she has to cook and take care of the kids while you do nothing, because,
right,
you know, that's what the man was doing, right? The man just come on and cool out.
Right.
But, you know, it's just a different time today.
I feel you. So. I feel you. Yeah, I mean, and it sounds like a lot of the same perspective that I would look at it at. I mean, human beings, to me, always have to make a choice based on the information they have. And, of course, old traditions are based on old information. I kind of feel where you're going with it. My other half is on the phone. She's being quiet. Any input?
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. See my opinion.
Yeah.
Hear that, Alan?
Here it comes.
Alan, hear that?
See, I feel like the rules back in the day, it worked. Right now, the new rules is not working. Marriages and relationship is not lasting. And I believe that's because of the new ways.
Yeah, and that's a good point. That's a good point. But it's really about the couple, because you're not the other couple. You're not the couple in Los Angeles. You're not the couple in Detroit. You're the couple where you're at right now. And it's about your rules. It's not about what we do. It's not about what somebody else used to do. It's about doing what makes it work. That's what you have to concentrate on. It's about doing what makes it work, because you are living in a new millennium. And back then, people did things different as to why they would do the things that they were doing in that time, right? You know, I mean, you have a washing machine today. Back in the day, you didn't. You know, the quality time that we spend today, you know, you would really think that we're so busy that we don't have time for each other, right? Because there's so many things that's going on. But actually, you have more time than couples had back then, right? Mm-hmm. You see? So that's what also makes it different as well. So it's really about your custom. But it's okay, though. I mean, see, when you think about, when you say to yourself, well, relationships aren't working because of the new, we have to think about relationships aren't working because of the tradition and the customs that you're using. Because there are a lot of people, I mean, when you think about it, there are a lot of people that's still doing the old custom and they still getting divorced too as well. You know, but it's about knowing each other.
And I would also argue that like you said, it's tough to look outside into other people's relationship and define the word working. You know, two people might be together and they might smile when they're out in public, but who knows? Oh, yeah. I mean, I thoroughly believe you could have a long-lasting, you know, 50-year marriage and you both till death do your part, and maybe you could ask one of them alone, hey, is it working? And they could be like, hell no, I need out. You know?
Exactly.
So I mean, like, my argument there has always been that, you know, I guess two people staying together doesn't have a monopoly on the word working. And then, of course, like you said, the vice versa of people doing the old tradition and it's still not working. There are examples of people doing the new tradition and it working. But I think that during this transition period of the new millennium, as you say, we might just be at a point where we just don't have enough examples of a new thing working. I mean, because
that's a good point.
Yeah, because typically
Obama,
mm-hmm.
they're working.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what we all looking up to now.
Well, I would imagine that's what a lot of people are looking up
yeah.
to. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. They're working, but we don't know what their tradition is, right?
True.
And that's what we have to create our own. Like, yeah, I still take out the garbage, but my wife actually puts the bag in the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's our tradition, though. And yeah, we are holding on to some of the old. But we've also added new and realized that it is working. I mean, there's so much. Alan, I mean, there's so many other people out here that's giving good relationship advice. And I think the reason why it's important is because of the change, because of the new times,
yeah.
that we have to constantly keep researching and constantly discovering what happens, or what was the problem in the relationship? I mean, we're constantly discovering. You have guys, comedians that's writing books and stuff, you know, that's discovering things in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have to just continue getting knowledge and education about relationships, and it's okay. It's some good information out there, you know, it really is. It's a lot of people that's given some good information.
Interesting. I have one more question for you. Where does, in your opinion, where does spirituality and or religion come into either a relationship or your personal relationship? Like, what is its place?
Well, that depends on, good question, that depends on, too, what's your spirituality, what's your religion when you meet someone.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can run into somebody and they may not believe what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I remember learning something in school from one of my professors. It says you have to give yourself permission to mature.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that you're going to run into people that have different views and ideologies about God, about religion, about spirituality. And I think just having an open mind to know that if you're basing your relationship off of your religious beliefs,
mm-hmm.
right? If you both don't have the same, it's going to be a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a challenge. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not that important to you, whereas you have your belief, she has hers, you guys aren't knocking each other with it, you aren't, you know, putting each other down because that's what you believe and that's what you believe, and you're able to still maintain a vitalized, harmonious, cohesive working relationship,
mm-hmm.
and then you can do it. You know, it could work.
That sounds interesting to me, the last part, because and you know, I mean, like you said, it's dependent on each individual, because to me, if you can end up at a point where you're set in your beliefs, and let's see, where am I trying to go with this, and you're with someone else and they're set in theirs,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess it's been my personal experience that it seems like whatever I believe is always subject to change, and it's always subject to change based on new information. And by that, I don't mean
exactly.
Like I go from Christianity to, oh, wait, now I'm a Buddhist. Oh, wait, now I'm Rastafarian.
Right.
You know,
right.
But you know, you kind of put all of those kind of belief systems on one level, and then you find out there's something true about all of them. And so I know for me, I guess.
Oh, excellent point, though. Excellent point. Excellent point what you just said, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is also something that entertains couples if you're open-minded, because it causes conversation, right?
True.
You can spend your quality time articulating with each other, but also educating each other, right? And you made a wonderful point, you know, because your wife may say something that's totally against your belief system, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it may hold validity,
mm-hmm.
enough validity to support its claim.
Right.
Right?
I see. Mm-hmm.
And you think about it later and go, wow, I never thought about it like that. That's deep.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's when you come into a relationship with an open mind,
mm-hmm.
and realizing that we as an adult, and yes, you're right, when you learn something today, you're different tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's the gift of being different with each other, because you learn from each other,
mm-hmm.
right?
And really?
you gotta disagree, but that's the good thing about it. If you do disagree, and you can sit down and talk about it, it's really fun. Actually,
uh-huh.
It's really fun, because you sit down and you talk, and you realize that it's 8 o'clock it's 11 o'clock at night.
Uh-huh.
You started at 7, and normally, you would be watching television, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you got into this deep conversation, and you both learned. And within conversation, too, it's, once again, as a couple, a loving couple, and not in a relationship to hurt each other, and to know that you guys are open to communicate with each other and to be an empirical listener in order to respond correctly. And that's to be open enough to say, wow,
mm-hmm.
that's deep. I never thought about it like that.
Right, right.
And give it thought. And give it praise to your wife. And give a word of affirmation
mm-hmm.
to your wife or to your husband when you discover something from each other. And you realize, wow, I really like talking with my wife. And it doesn't go off into an argument.
Right, right. No, I agree. Yeah, it sounds like a beautiful thing. Let's see. All right, I think I have one more on the tip of my tongue. Be careful, because I probably
well,
go all night.
Well, if I said one, I got to
hey,
cut
hey,
you
Alan.
Off now.
All right, let's do it.
You got more than your share of coaching, man. You just had a relationship coaching session on my show.
Hey, Alan,
all
remember
right,
when you said, you know, I can't think of one thing, right?
that was the old me. All right, well, listen, I appreciate
right,
it from
right.
both of y'all.
Hey,
right,
no problem.
Thanks,
thank
brother.
You for calling in.
Right.
571-571. Appreciate it. Let me check on one more call. This is one of my good friends and loyal listeners. Area code 253, if I can unmute your mic. Irvin V. Pulliam III, what's up? You just listening? You got a question to comment?
Oh, man, what's going on? I'm just listening tonight.
Okay. EVP. Yeah. In Seattle, Washington, I'm going to take another quick 2 to 3 minute intermission, and then we're going to be right back with some more questions for Ryo Sims. Don't go anywhere.
my God. Oh, my God. Is this the Alan Roger Curry of Mode 1 fame? Oh, my God.
When I made the movie, it was never my intention to bash black women. What it's about is trying to show black women for the first time that some of the contributions to why our relationships don't work actually do come from this.
So online dating actually allows you to get to know someone far better than if you met someone for 20 minutes in a bar.
I actually agree with that. I agree with Evan wholeheartedly.
We were created to couple up. And I don't care who you are, how successful you think you have it, or how happy of a life you think you would have without a companion, we were created with a longing to couple with someone else.
Only God can judge me, and only God can judge these people. Everyone has the right to live their life, and who am I to judge a person for what they want to do? If it works for you, more power to you. Go ahead.
L.A. is like a meat market.
don't I know?
I don't know what it is, but people, somebody's looking for something, so fried chicken is like women to me. I mean, it's just a beautiful thing. I even wrote a poem. Just like
Ms. McDermott, glad to have you here.
Alan, I'm just feeling a lot of love right now. Yeah, you got me all a tingling. So talk about
702 is upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and Jimmy Jean-Louis.
Hey, what's up, Alan? What's up, Jimmy J?
Hey, how are you? Jimmy J, somebody knows me.
Oh, my goodness.
I couldn't do this.
Alan.
No, you know, hey.
You're horrible.
What?
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Turn to my interview with relationship coach and marriage educator Ryle Sims on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Ryle Sims Relationship Coaching Session on Thursday night. That's right. If you're just tuning in, you just missed Ryle breaking down some knowledge and wisdom to a nice young couple that called in. I mean, he was thoroughly examining the different questions that were posed to him and giving great responses. Ryle Sims is a relationship coach and marriage educator based in the Los Angeles area, and we're chopping it up with him. Let me ask you, Ryle, what is, in your opinion, what is the number one purpose of marriage? Ryle? Uh-oh.
Security.
Oh, wait,
security for each other.
Okay, you back.
Are you there?
Yeah, you back. Okay.
Security for each other. Love, taking care of each other. Taking care, being with each other with true love and looking out for one another. We are in relationships and we don't really care. We're in it just for our own good. But we're not in it for that person. We're in it for me. Just for me. But not in it for us as a whole, because it's for the two of us to become one. And a lot of people are in relationships and they're separate. And they're not allowing themselves to become one. Mm-hmm. They're not allowing themselves to be influenced by each other. And what I mean by that is when somebody's giving you advice, you take that person's advice before you take your wife or your husband's advice. And it's about taking care of each other. It's about being there for one another. Now, there's some other definitions out there. Some say to financially take care of each other. It's physically to take care of each other. You know, like when we go, if we get married downtown, the state is, their definition is that you make sure that you take care financially, because that's why it's a legal binding, right? Versus a spiritual and emotional binding, right? Mm-hmm. Versus people getting married under a contract that can be broken, right? Or people getting married under a spiritual contract, which still can be broken too as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But to be there for each other, that's the simplest thing that I could say.
Okay. Well, give my listening audience, if you will, at least six of the 12
whoa
dating traps.
Oh.
Grab
oh. out of the 100?
But yeah, what are just a handful of the common,
well, you know,
dating,
you know,
traps
I think,
that people fall into?
Well, I think that, well, one that we talked about before, you know, the, you know, I'm in love, you know, one of those things. One of the major things, I have to say one of the major dating traps is not knowing self. And I know that may not make sense, but not knowing self. A lot of people get into relationships or they're out searching for a relationship and they have no idea what they're looking for. So whatever sounds good to them, they fall into that trap. Versus not knowing what they're looking for. A lot of people are in relationships, been in relationships for 5 years, 10 years, never discovered self. That's why a lot of people end up getting divorced, because when they do discover themselves, they realize that that's not the person that they really want to be with. Right?
Right.
But falling into traps like people saying how they care about you, falling into not knowing, we don't read, we listen, we don't read people's body language, we listen to what people say, we don't have relationship tools to even based off of when we're actually out there dating, right? Mm-hmm. What we do is we fall into these relationship traps, like he opens the door up for me for the car, right?
Yeah.
Right? He's a gentleman. He opens the door for me, girl. Has nothing to do with how he's going to treat you. It does say he has manners. It says, yeah, he walks on the outside of the street. You know, when you're taught to walk outside the side of the street when you're walking, right? The girl is in the inside. You're on the outside. Somebody drives by, drive-by shooting. You get shot, right? Well, we all know those tips. I mean, the biggest player out there is like, look, number one tip is to open up the door for, right? So I open the car door up. I pushed the chair up for you when you were going to dinner. You're like, oh, my God, he is a total gentleman. Well, what happens is that now if you had any questions that you wanted to ask, personal questions that you wanted to ask, like an employer. I don't want to sound cliche, and I know you've heard that a lot where people, you know, you look at it as an employer, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you don't ask any questions now because the brother man has opened the door for you when you're going, when you're getting ready to get into the car, when you're going into the house. Or he has a lot of money. He's making a lot of money. He's got a nice car. He has a big home. He has a lot of property, right? Those are traps because it has nothing to do with how that man is going to treat you whatsoever. I don't care how many jobs or how many houses he has. You know, we get trapped in that. I don't care how fine she is or how especially as men, we get so caught up into she's so fine, we don't ask nothing. All we know is that she's so fine. Oh, my God, she's fine. We can't wait to get on the phone and tell our partner, oh, man, homegirl got a body out this world. That's a trap right there.
Yeah, it's funny. I got to interject here. I got a buddy who used to joke about that. He said, Alan, isn't it funny how a lot of brothers, and this is probably more of a black man thing than a white man or Asian man or whoever else, but he said, isn't it funny how we can be criticizing a woman, but then the ultimate compensator would be, man, but she got a big ass, though.
Exactly. That's the ultimate. Oh, man, you know, she didn't see that. But, man, you see that body?
Exactly.
You see that body? And, oh, my God. And we won't ask anything, man. We won't ask anything. The three things I like to mention, I like to mention the three things that can prepare yourself to prevent repairing yourself to get into those traps, right? Mm-hmm. Is that, one has to know your requirements, your non-negotiable requirements, something that you totally will not accept. One would have to know your needs. One would have to know your wants. Now, we've been taught our wants for years. Our wants is he has to have a nice car. He has to have an education. He has to have his own place, right? Nice shoes, right? He has to be polite. He has to open the door for me. Those are wants. We're taught those wants. We've been taught those wants for years. But we're never taught to look for our needs. We're never taught to look for our requirements, our non-negotiable requirements, right? And I'm going to give you an example. This is not my example. But when you go out and bake a cake, right, you have all the ingredients to a cake. But if I, and I'm making a flour cake, okay, and if I take away this flour, I can't bake this cake because it's non-negotiable. I'm sorry, it's non-negotiable. I need that flour in order for us to have a relationship, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I have the flour, it's battered up, and I have it all ready. Now, I need to put it into a pot. Now, what's negotiable about my needs is that I don't have to put it into a cake pot. I can put it, my grandmother used to put a cake into one of those black skillets. She used to make cakes in that, right?
Okay.
But I'm still getting my what met? I'm still getting my needs met.
Yeah.
But it's negotiable. Now, the cake is done. Now, I want to make this cake what? I want to make a German chocolate cake, so I put the German stuff in it. I want to make it strawberry cake. I can put the strawberry stuff in it. I can put chocolate on top. I can put vanilla on top. Those are our wants. And that's what we're always taught is our wants. But we're never taught to look to know our requirements. We're never taught to know our needs and our non-negotiable requirements, and our physical needs and our emotional needs. What's our physical needs? Something that we talked about earlier on, too. When you meet someone, you want to know if this person is neat or not. You get with this person and discover that your husband doesn't wash dishes, doesn't vacuum, doesn't mop. You discover your wife doesn't wash dishes. Those are physical needs as well. Mm-hmm. But you don't ask those questions. Why? Because you don't know self. And the number one key is first is to know self. And we don't take out time. Let me tell you, the greatest thing of being single, the greatest benefit of being single is getting to know self. But we don't give ourselves that opportunity. We don't give ourselves that time that's given to us. That's a spiritual gift. That's a spiritual gift. That's a gift from God. When you are single, that time that you have when you are single is to get to know self. Get to know self so you can also love self before you go out trying to find somebody to love or trying to find somebody to love you. Because that's another trap too. When you find somebody that's giving you attention and you can't give yourself your own attention, you fall in love with that, not knowing that you don't even love self. And that's the number one key, is to love self first. When you go look for a job, that employer knows exactly what he or she is looking for. And you better believe he or she is going to ask you every question that he has been prepared to ask to see at least, brothers and sisters out there. Now, I'm not saying that you can just go down this list and if he doesn't meet anything on the list, at least if he has or if she has the potential to meet your requirements, your needs, and your wants, right? Mm-hmm. To prevent yourself from getting into these traps. Now, hey, if people are out there are good, man. They are good. They will tell you what you want to hear. So in your interview, never ask a question and then give him an option. Never ask a question and then give options, because he'll take one of those options.
Okay, give an example of that.
Ask a question. So, will you ever get married anytime soon? Like maybe in 2 years or maybe a year? Well, see, you just gave him what he's hoping, what you're hoping I say. So you gave me 2 years or a year. So I'll go, I'm thinking about getting married probably in about 2 years, right? So ask a question and don't say anything after that. Don't give options. Ask a question and don't give options, because we're good at reading and we're not even conscious of it. But we'll listen to the question, and if you give options, we'll take one of those options. Don't give options at all. And know the questions that you're going to ask. But that's all about knowing self, man. That's all about knowing self. And we just don't take out that time to get to know ourselves. And that's one of the major, major problems with us when we're ready to go out there into a relationship. A lot of people go, yeah, you know, I think I'm ready now. I had a keynote speech in New York and one in San Jose. So I left there and went there, and I said, well, let me ask the question again. He says, yeah, I'm ready for a relationship. And I'll go, why? How do you know? What are you looking for? And they can't answer it. They think that, well, I'm ready for a relationship because I haven't been with anyone in a while. And yes, it's natural to be, you know, to have the need to belong, as Maslow's laws and the hierarchy. But we have to know those three tips before we even go out and venture into the relationship arena.
Good stuff,
I know,
man.
I'm talking, man.
Good stuff, bro. Now, you know that's a catchy slogan you got, preparing yourself to prevent repairing yourself. Is that a Rael Sims original?
Oh, that's mine. That is definitely mine.
He said that's
mine. That is mine. And that's what we have to do. That's that time that we have to ourselves. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself, because people aren't preparing themselves, and they're just going out there, and they have to keep repairing themselves every time. Oh, hey, how you and the guy doing? We broke up. You know, oh, homegirl, all this and that, because we're not prepared. We're not prepared. We really have to get prepared, and that's, too, as the couple that was talking, again, that's another reason why it's important that people, you know, like myself and yourself, that you have to get, listen to us and get some relationship advice, because we're discovering new things every day about how to make a relationship work. And that gives you the opportunity to prepare for it. Look, you know, I've heard many times people say, well, what about letting it just happen naturally? And I have a relationship tip on Facebook about that. But nothing, this is mine too, nothing happens naturally without assistance. Nothing happens naturally without assistance. You got to have some type of knowledge about relationships. You got to have some type of knowledge of self, of who you are, before you jump out there. You have to know who you are before you jump out there.
Now, you know, it's so funny you're talking about this, Rael. Me and you must think alike a lot, because I'm in Northwest Indiana. I'm actually teaching a class right now called Dating for 21st Century Singles. And that was actually one of my lessons. I said,
wow.
You have to know yourself before even thinking about entering into a relationship.
That's right. That's right, man. There's so many people out there. There's so many people have no idea who they are. Have no idea. So what are you going to ask? What questions are you going to ask the person? What are you going to ask?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't know self. What are you going to ask? This person is going to invest themselves into you. And you better believe, Alan, if you go get a loan from a bank, the bank is going to ask you everything, right? What is your mama's name, right? The bank is going to know everything about you before they give you $250,000.
Dude, this is some kind of weird coincidence. Dude, in my class, I use that analogy because one of the things
oh my God, are you serious?
I use a similar analogy, one of my chat room users said we look alike, man. I think we brothers.
Hey, we need to get our DNA.
But,
we need to get our DNA check, dude.
But it's so funny. But yeah, you make such a good point, because one of the things I was saying that ties exactly in what you. I was saying how, like you kind of alluded to it when you said how a guy can open a woman's door and a woman to say, oh, he's a gentleman. But in the big picture, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. And one point I was making is that I feel like a lot of men and women, when they first meet each other, say going on their quote-unquote first date, second date, they talk about a lot of general bull that really doesn't mean anything, you know.
Exactly.
So, what did you think about that movie that came out the other weekend?
Exactly.
You know, and I said, if you're going to a bank looking to get a mortgage loan, they're not going to be talking about, so, hey, what about this weather? God, this is real great, isn't it? And what about that last Vin Diesel movie? They don't care about this stuff. They're going to be asking
you
specific questions.
How was your weekend? How was your holiday? Were you alone on Christmas? Did you watch it? No, the bank don't care that. That bank is going to ask you the important questions, what it needs to know to see if you qualify for a loan.
Exactly. Oh, man, you're breaking some stuff down. Callers, we're running out of time. We only got like two or three more minutes. Well, Rael, if you want to get one last-minute call, please call in. I'll try to take your call.
Okay.
But we're coming down to the last two, 3 minutes. Let me ask you this. Which gender is it more important to be the chooser, or can any gender equally be the chooser?
Well, you know, we were taught that it's actually the men that's the chooser. Good point. But really, in reality, even if you look at body language, right, the woman is really choosing because she's really giving you the okay to come and approach her just through her body language, right? But the chooser really is just like the employer. We're going right back to that again. One of the major problems is women think that, well, he chose me out of all the girls. But the power is really in your hands, women. You're really the chooser and not the chosen. We're just interested in you. I was so nervous, Alan. I was speaking in this church, man. It was this mega church, and it had all of these ministers there. And I wanted to talk about that verse in the Bible. He who finds a wife finds a good thing, right? You remember that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so, but the ministers don't teach beyond that, that, yeah, I can open up the newspaper, I can go to the internet looking for a job, and I found a job that I'm interested in. But that doesn't mean I got that job until I actually go to the employer. It's up to the employer to hire me, right? So what women are taught is to be the chosen and not to be the chooser. That's why it's so important for them to know self, know how to ask questions, know how to evaluate when they're asking questions, so they could know if this person at least had the potential to meet their needs, to meet their wants, and to meet their requirements. So I think on both parties, yeah, I mean, we can all be the choosers, but the bottom line is the power is in the woman to say yes or to say no.
Okay, Ryle, I'm going to ask you a favor, and you're not obligated to respond to this favor, but a couple of my chat room users want me to extend a few more minutes. Do you have the free time to extend, or you
got
to go?
I got the free time, brother.
Okay. Well, in that case, let me run into my little oh boy, now my little thing acting up. Okay, let me see here. I'm gonna extend. Well, first, I'm gonna take an intermission break, and hopefully, we'll be right back if I don't run into any more technical difficulties.
Okay.
Hold on, people.
Okay. Great. Great.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Mode 1 fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Available at McClendonReport.com. How to find a good black man. 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 Available at McClendonReport.com.
Think that guys to one degree or another have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also let you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
Single, lonely, confused,
join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Turn to my interview with relationship coach and marriage educator Ryle Sims on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back, and I know you're surprised because normally I'd be off the air, but as I do every now and then, I extend the show a little longer, and that's what I've done because I got my fraternal twin brother, Ryle Sims, with me tonight, and we chopping it up talking about dating relationships. And if you've been missing the show, man, this brother been dropping some major knowledge and wisdom related to marriages and just dating and relationships in general. I want to real quickly give a few shout-outs to my loyal friends and supporters who come in my chat room. Sandy, a.k.a. How Elegant, is in the chat room. Got Hyper, Delicious 59. Gina, a.k.a. Holistic Life Design. She's the host of her own show here on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Got Music Nika, Cali Champ. Charvette Radio is in the chat room. Shay Romance is in the chat room. Metal Haze. Excuse me, I'm getting the hiccups or something. I'm glad to have you. And also my good buddy, Irvin V. Pulliam III, EVP Match 1, is on the line listening. But, yeah, we're going to get back to my main man, Ryle. Now, well, first of all, Ryle, how can I forget this? How can I forget? If you listen to my show, Ryle, you know,
yeah,
one of my classic has become a part of my shows that I have my guests. They've taken the title of my book and they stretch out the O's, and it's this chant. It's Mo One. So I want to hear Ryle Sims' best rendition of Mo One.
Now, you saying more one?
No, mode, like M-O-D-E.
Oh, mode one, okay.
O-N-E, only you stretch out the O's, and it goes, mode one.
Mode one.
Mode one. Alan Roger Curry.
Mode one. Up front, straightforward.
Mode one. Alan Roger Curry.
Thank you for that, my brother. Sandy, quit hating in the chat room. I see you hating Sandy. She's one of my good friends. She always be teasing me because she know I love chicken wings more than her. She's a chicken wing hater, and she be trying to get under my skin. But, hey, getting back
to
the
discussion. You got that oxytocin with the chicken wings.
Is it possible to teach a man or woman in a relationship how to resolve conflicts and or prevent unnecessary arguments?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's just a matter of the person, once again, giving themselves permission to mature. One can learn. I don't care how old you are. And especially if, you know, I feel sorry for the word change because it had such a bad connotation attached to it, right? Because, you know, when people say, I'm not changing for nobody. But the thing is to change for yourself and for the relationship if you want that relationship to continue. If you want to have a vitalized, harmonious relationship, You have to make a change. And I do believe if one is willing to make their relationship work, they'll do it. If they're not, they're not really interested in, and you know what we do too, man, we use these excuses in our relationship just to break up anyway. So they're not really serious about the relationship if they don't want to try to alter. And that's just so if I don't use the word change because people are so offended by it. You know, to alter some things that you do in a relationship. And it's really simple. I mean, it's like I was telling the couple before, you realize some things by communicating with each other that it can actually be fun. And you can edify one another. You can educate each other by talking about this certain thing that you really want to have an argument about. Look, now I have to say this. Everybody's going to get into an argument here and there. Okay? It's how you handle the argument. You know, it's are you going to stay in this world of anger all day? Wake up in the morning with it, because you know you've heard the cliche: you go to bed mad, you're gonna wake up mad, right?
Yeah.
But to actually learn how to communicate, and I got to say this: one of you has to do the right thing first. If you are willing to make this relationship work, one of you are going to have to do the right thing first. If that means to listen to Alan's show and to get some relationship advice, read Alan's book to get some relationship advice and come home and talk to your wife and go, hey, look, this is what I learned, and I think we should try to implement this. But one person has to do the right thing first. And I do believe that, you know, you heard the cliche, you can't teach old dogs new tricks. I believe you can. I believe you can if you want to learn those tricks. And what happens is we get so set in our ways and we just don't want to do it for the relationship. You know?
Mm-hmm. Now that's interesting.
And one has to be conscious, Alan. You just have to be conscious. A lot of us aren't conscious. We learn tools. It's like right now. People are listening to us right now. And they're probably learning something right now. And as soon as they hang up the phone, they're not going to implement the tools. They're not going to be conscious to say, hey, look, we're just about to get into an argument. My wife taught me. I mean, we would get into a heated argument. Well, not heated, but we'd get into an argument. And now I'm sitting around mad. But then she would come to me. She would say, hey, look, she would do something stupid, look at me and laugh or look in front of me. Now, how long are you gonna stay like this? And I couldn't do any, you know, I'm like, it made me feel stupid. Like, yeah, how long am I gonna really do this in the house with the woman I love and knowing we have 5 more hours to be together to enjoy each other and to have fun with each other and to know that we have things that that we're going to enjoy with each other, you know, and to the point now if we have, you know, slight disagreements or whatever, now I'm coming to her. I do the stupid dance she likes. So if she's just sitting in the bed or sitting on the couch, I jump on the bed and start doing this stupid dance for her, and it make her laugh, you know, and we're back together. But one of us has to do the right thing first, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of us will do the right thing. I'll come to her and just do something stupid, you know, and next thing you know, we're back together. And that's every once in a while. Because we have learned how to communicate with each other so it doesn't get there. We learned how to communicate where now we're listening to each other. And one of the major points in communication, well, two, you know, it's a cliche when people say, yeah, one of the major things is communication. Yes, that's right. But it's how you communicate and how you listen and how you understand. Because the number one thing to communication is getting understanding. if you don't understand what your mate is saying, you're going to continue having that same argument over and over and over again. Because what you do is avoid the situation when you have the argument. You say, oh, that's okay. You're right. You're right. You're right. That's all right. I'm wrong. You're right. You're being facetious, right? But you never solve that problem. So you continue having that same argument over and over and over again. And you can have that same argument to the point where you think it's time for you guys to divorce. Well, that's because you never found any understanding in that argument. You never found any understanding. You never tried to understand each other. You never tried to mirror each other. I don't know if you guys have ever had a guest to talk about mirroring, right?
I think I have one or two. Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, you never take out time for the guests, for the audience out there, too. It's just basically asking the person. So what I'm hearing is you want me to be at home at 7 o'clock because the food is ready at 7 and you don't want it to be cold by the time I get home, and you would have to microwave the food, and you would like to be here to have dinner together with the both of us. Is that what you're saying? And that's mirroring. That's asking to try to get an understanding as to why she's angry when you come home at 8:30, right? And you have an argument about the food. But you argue, but you never get an understanding because you don't take out that time to mirror each other and to find out. You know, you just repeat what she's saying. And then when you repeat what she's saying, then you also express how she feels about what she's saying. Therefore, she gets an opportunity to see if you really understand what she's saying and how she feels. Right? Mm-hmm. And that's just a tool that's another lesson of how you can get past having these arguments all the time and every day. That's how you can ask yourself, why are we having these arguments? Well, then take out time and sit down and talk and ask each other questions about that particular argument that you keep having, right?
Well, speaking of talking, what exactly does it mean, Rael, to speak in the language of love? I for some reason, I hear Ricardo Montalban's voice, somebody speak in the language of love. How do you
know
that?
That's a good point. There are several things that have you ever heard of love languages? It's love language. I speak English, right? But, you know, school, when we're in high school, we have to learn another language, right? Je m'appelle Jean Clooney, et toi comment t'appelles tu, et moi c'est mon ami. We have to learn either French, Spanish, or whatever. That's our secondary language, right? So our primary language is what we speak, is what I speak. I have to learn what my wife speaks. That's my secondary language, what she speaks. And the language of love is me learning and knowing her language. By me knowing her language and speaking her language is telling her, I love you. What does that mean? Her language could be quality time, right?
Okay.
Quality time is not watching football. Quality time is actually sitting down, what we were talking about earlier, and talking with each other, right? That's what my wife's quality time is. Not watching a movie, and we're giving the quality time to who? To the television. So I'm not speaking her love language. I'm speaking my love language. I'm like, baby, I just want you to be here while I'm watching the Chicago Bears.
Can you come and watch the game with me? Let me teach you about what. Let me teach you this. Let me teach you what they're doing right now. Let me tell you what the football. Now, the quarterback, when the quarterback, you know, so I'm teaching all of this. So she's here watching football with me because that's one of my love languages. Now, does she really want to sit here and watch football if I wasn't here? Probably not, right? But she's here saying, okay, I'm going to sit here because, you know, to be honest with you, once again, and you know this, Alan, it's a lot of people here in the industry here in L.A., and they're not into sports. I'm into sports. You know, I love sports, and I love my Chicago sports, and I'm not going to miss a day of watching Chicago Bears or the Bulls, right? But I can't find too many people out here that's into sports that's from Chicago, right? So my wife will watch it with me. Now, her love language is, I just want to spend some quality time with you. And when I'm spending quality time with her, it's saying, I love you. So we speak each other's love languages back to each other of saying, I love you. And that's my interpretation of love languages, which you can also go out and find that was one of the things that I learned in college about that, love languages.
Interesting.
Yeah, and there are five of them. It's word of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, act of service, that's doing things for each other without that person asking you to do it, right? Like, say, the baby's crying, she's washing dishes, she's hearing the baby cry. She stopped washing dishes and cooking to go tend to the baby. But you get up and say, oh, I got this baby. You go and tend to the baby. Or she's going to tend to the baby. You say, okay, go ahead, and I'll finish washing the dishes. Or I'll finish cooking, right?
Okay.
Act of service. And that's saying, wow, my husband really loves me.
Gotcha.
And those are love languages. Because sometimes I've had couples, man, that I've counseled, and that's what they discovered. You know, they discovered that, hey, my husband doesn't help around the house, and that's all I want is him to just help every once in a while if he can just help because I'm doing everything. I come home from working, you know, 8 hours just like him. I'm cooking, taking care of the kids, washing the dishes, cleaning the kitchen, putting the food up at 10 o'clock, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cleaning, and he does nothing at home whatsoever. And she doesn't say it. She doesn't voice it. She avoids it, loses her self-esteem, her self-worth, because now she's avoiding even saying anything about it, right? Now she starts to hate him, resent him. Because every time she comes home, she knows that she's going to be doing everything like a workhorse, and he does nothing but go to work. And he would even say, but I go to work, I work hard, and she could say the same thing. Well, I do too. Right?
Right.
You know, and it's so important to know each other's love languages and to communicate those. And so that's another reason why it's good to discover, to take out time, cut the TV off, and say, hey, baby, what are your love languages? And that's what we don't do either, Alan. We don't take out time to say, what is it that I can do for you? And it will say, I love you. What is it that I can do? And it will say, I love you. You know. And a woman really means it when she says sometimes she doesn't want sex. She just wants to be held. Well, that's her love language. Her love language is physical touch. She just wants to be held today. And if you're able to just hold her and not try to have sex, it says, I love you. And you just can't imagine when you're speaking each other's love languages how that other person is going to respond to you. Because the number one key is it's all about, when it comes to love, it's all about one wanting to know that they are being loved. Mm-hmm. That's the number one key. I want to know that I am being loved. You could love all you want. You could say, oh, I love you, I love her, I love you, I love her. But do you feel loved back, right? And that's speaking those love languages.
Uh-huh. Listeners, we're coming up on our last 5 minutes, and this time I mean it. Last time I said that, we ended up extending the show, and I'm glad I did because he's been breaking down a whole much more, just dropping knowledge left and right. But, yeah, we're coming up to our last 5 minutes, so if you want to try to get a quick 30-second question in, you can go ahead and call 646-478-5710. What is a couple's emotional bank account?
Hey, that's when they're just empty. That's when they're tired. You know, one of them is trying, the other one isn't, and they're empty. That's what we're talking about, when you got to that 4-year itch, that 7-year itch, or that 2-year itch, and you're trying to make this relationship work. And that bank account is just empty. It's like, you know, this is it. I can't find any money to put in this bank. I've tried everything. I went out and I borrowed money. I got money from my family. I got money from my daddy, my mama. And my account is gone. It's empty. It's not even empty. It's gone. I got a letter from the bank saying, we have closed your account. And I am out. I have no feelings for you anymore.
Oh, boy. That's... Oh, man. Now, let me ask you this, and this might be my last question or next to last. Let's say you had a client come to you, and it's a woman who's been betrayed, cheated on at least 3 or 4 times, hurt multiple times, and she's got to a point where she's just like kind of resentful and bitter almost towards the whole male gender. What would be 2 or 3 things you think you could tell that woman to get her on the right track towards having a positive attitude towards the male gender?
Whew. Well, now we're not talking about the couple now. She's by herself now, right?
No, this is a woman, yeah. She's by herself. Her very last boyfriend just, you know, cheated on her. And 2 other boyfriends she had also cheated on her. And she's gotten to the point, I'm sure you've met women like this, they just like, you know, I hate all men. And, you know, they're no good and blah, blah, blah. But you can tell, being a relationship coach as you are, that deep, deep down, she does want another relationship, but she doesn't really want.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, most definitely. You know, it's just about letting him know, though. One thing that I do is I have to really dig deep to find out why she keeps picking the same guy too, as well. And most of the time, we discover that. But if not, too, that we're not all the same, and she's going to have to get back out there and continue trying. But did she learn anything from these guys? Yes. A lot of women aren't aware that they've learned from those relationships and that they have a step up over most women. But they're not aware of that experience that they have, right? Because you usually learn from that. You just have to evaluate those relationships that you are in so you can learn from those relationships and know that you can keep on pushing, because not all guys are like that. But you got to take out time to find out why you're doing it, why you keep running into the same type of guy. You have to take out time, and once again, like we said, to learn a little bit more about self now. Don't jump back into another relationship right now. You know, because most of the time, you want to jump into another relationship to make you feel good at that moment, you know. But you have to be able to just stay away for a while. Get to know self and get to know enjoy yourself, you know. But not about hating men, because, yes, I run into that all the time, you know. And sometimes women, they choose the opposite side. They say, well, you know, now that I've been hurt so many times with men, I'm going to date women.
Yeah, which, I've run into a few women like that, yeah.
But what they discover, too, is that I don't care what you are, relationship and relationship, you two human beings together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to run into the same problems. Just because you're dating a woman, it doesn't mean she's not going to cheat on you.
Man, I'm running out of time, so I don't have time to go elaborate on that. But that's so funny you mentioned that. Because I had a woman, and I'm trying to sum it up real quickly, but I had a woman probably like 3 or 4 months ago that I had met, that I talked to, and that's exactly what happened to her. She had gotten to the point where she had got, you know, cheated on by like 2 or 3 guys. So she was angry at them, so she felt like, you know, an alternative was to turn to women. She started being bisexual. And then she had a test. She said, Alan, you know what? I said, what's up? She said, you know what? Women, they ain't nothing just like men ain't nothing. I said, oh, really? She said, yeah. The first woman who I ended up having a relationship with, she ended up, she said the woman she was dealing with ended up almost exhibiting the same behavior as the man.
Right.
You know, not returning her calls, lying to her, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, you make a good point. It goes from gender to gender and from sexuality to sexuality. But real quick, I'm going to be running out of time here. Tell my listeners where they can find you on the World Wide Web.
Yes, they can find me on eHow Experts. They can find me on Facebook. Just type in Ryel Sims, RyelSimms. They can find me on my website. It's therelationshipcoach.net, therelationshipcoach.net. I also have a internet TV show called Prepare for Love. They can find me on Ustream, the letter U, Stream, S-T-R-E-A-M, and .tv, Ustream.tv. You can type in Prepare for Love. They can Google me. I'm on a lot of different sites as well. Black Planet. My assistant, she has me on everything, you know. But you can go to my website, therelationshipcoach.net, and I do answer them too. I take out time, and I'm actually, hey, right, Alan? Tell the truth, right?
Right.
No, I'm on them. I take out time and I go on them. I send out messages. People ask me relationship questions and I answer them. If it's personal, I ask you to call me and I'll answer it. And, I mean, I do get paid for my sessions, but for the first, you know, 5 minutes, I'll try to do my best. Or, you know, because sometimes people, I can answer a question in 5 minutes. You don't have to pay me anything. You know what I mean, Alan? You know, and so yeah, you can contact me that way. And my number too is area code 323-571-3808.
Well, thank you so much. This has been my fraternal twin brother, Ryel Sims.
Yes.
And I've enjoyed having this brother on my show, and it was worth extending it for 2 hours. Join me next week. I'll have Robert Jackson, and then the week after, I'll have Marie Burgos. Until then, take care and have a great weekend. And I started off the show with a little Luther, and I'll end the show with a little Luther. Take care.
saw my guiding light, my love's out to sea. There's not a minute, hour, day or night that I don't love you. You're at the top of my list, cause I'm always thinking of you. I still remember in the days when I was scared to touch you, how I spent my day dreaming, planning how to say I love you. You must have known that I had feelings deep enough to swim in. That's when you opened up your heart and you told me to come in. Oh, my love, a thousand kisses from you is never enough. I just don't want to stop. Oh, my love, a million days in your arms is never enough. I just don't want to stop.
Never much, never too much. Never too much, never too much.
Another dollar. I'd rather be with you, 'cause you make my heart scream and holler.